chapter 22, we are continuing with our verse 8, which has to do with building battlements. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. Now this is a very interesting verse in itself. It has practical application. It has legal applications. It has all kind of applications here in it. First, it's a new house, which means it's a new family being established. That's the idea behind this. And a new family being established to rear a family. And there will children come along. One of the promises to Israel, to the godly people, was that they would have prosperity in every area, including family. And so there would be the need, because all the roofs were flat in that country, then there would be the need for a banister around the roof. A battlement here, because it's a military word, parapets, that where they could be protected from falling off the roof. But also it was a place for protection. These parapets had cracks in them where they could fire, shoot bow and arrows, or maybe throw rocks if the kids might get into that. But it was very important. And we are looking at it, of course, not just so much from the physical standpoint, but applying this spiritually, because it's a verse of scripture that has tremendous spiritual application. And as we saw it there, this responsibility in this home, once a new home is built, there's a separation from the old home. That means, of course, the father is, as the instructions of scripture were, when he took a wife, he was to separate from his home and start a new home. This is the process, of course, of how homes are begun. His marriage takes place, they move out, and they get away from loved ones and so forth, should, and certainly better if they do. And then they would build their house, their family, their children, rear them. And of course, we're thinking and talking for the glory of God. And so the spiritual banister or battlements that were to be put there or is what we're looking at during this time. Now, understand this, that God has all authority. God's authority is absolute. That means that God can use it any way he wants to and be perfectly just. He has absolute power. Now, he's the only one who has absolute power. Even Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Son of God and God come in the flesh, his power on earth is delegated. He said himself that the Father has given me power in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Given power is delegated power. And it comes as a portion of this absolute power. But once delegated power is given, God never takes it back. All of God's callings and gifts are without repentance. Now think of that. All of God's callings and gifts are without repentance. So you say men may use God's authority unwisely. Yes, they may, because they have a free will, and if they don't know God and don't walk in his will, they'll very likely use their authority unwisely. And that's the reason God established civil government, for the purpose of when parents, one of the purposes, when parents cannot properly or do not properly exercise their authority and misuse it and mistreat and harm, then the government can step in. And that's what God established, so that children could be protected. And God saw to that in the way he established a society. But all authority comes from God. Civil authority comes from God. The father and mother's authority in the home comes from God. And God doesn't ever take it back. No matter how bad a parent may be, he doesn't take it back. Now sometimes, as I said, the government has to take that power away by taking the child away, but the authority as a father or mother is given there and not rescinded, of course, by God. Now, these are practical things. You realize folks need to be taught these things. These are what need to be taught to children in the home and in the Christian school. These are the kind of things you need to know. If you get these bases, then you shape, you know, it keeps you in life from acting foolishly or doing foolish things or knowing how and what God expects from these things. Now, God will do his job. You can count on that. Boy, can we count on God. God never fails. God never fails. You know, when I started out in ministry, they told me that. And I took the Bible's word and other people's words. That was true. God didn't fail. But I can speak personally now that God doesn't fail. He never fails. He never lets you down. Even when you may be weak and stumbling and do things wrong or improperly or you could have done it better, he still looks after, takes care, provides, you see, and keeps you, brings you through. God's a wonderful, glorious, wonderful God. Now, his job is increase. He brings the increase, which only comes after planting and watering, which is the parents or our responsibilities. Planting the seed of the Word of God in the hearts of our children, watering that seed is our responsibility. God will not do that. Hear me now. Hear me now. God will not do that. You know what's so sad when I preach messages like this is I know very little will be heeded. It's really a discouraging. My life in that sense has been a discouraging thing. I used to think that I would get a lot of folks to follow the Lord. I used to think, well, boy, if I could get, you know, 100, 150, 200 young people out in the field serving the Lord, boy, that'd be a great, wonderful thing. And later on, I got to where I said, Lord, give me one. Give me two. Huh? Give me three. I mean, Lord, I'm not looking for the Lord. No, just give me somebody to listen. Somebody to hear. Somebody that will take to heart what the Bible has to say. We take it what we want it to be. And we take it and we let it say what we think it would be good if it said. And we don't listen and hear what God had to say, but we're going to have to pay for what God had to say, not for the way we thought. We're going to have to pay for the way we thought, but it's going to be because we didn't carry out what God said. See? And that's what God expects of us. Now, the greatest soul winning field in the world is the children of our churches. And as I said, we are losing our children, and yet we are praying and giving for the evangelization of the world. Boy, we can catch that vision. We can catch that, you know, the world's lost. Let's go out and win the world. Let's go out and carry the gospel to the multitudes. And we should. I'm not saying one thing against that. We should do that. But we should first of all start at the house. That's where we need to start, is at the house, our own home, with our own children, if we're going to evangelize the world. Evangelize your children first. And so that's going to be the emphasis of this. Now, turn with me to John chapter 3, and I want to get deeper into this morning. What I want to talk to you about now is these battlements. Battlements. What kind of battlements do we need to put around our home? Here's a young couple, they get married. And they start out to establish their home. Now, they may live in an apartment, they may live in a trailer, they may live, you know, wherever. But they still have these battlements to put up, you see. Now, the first one is the salvation of the parents themselves. And I'm going to read some scripture in John chapter 3, very familiar scripture. But Jesus said it very plainly that we have to be born again. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now notice he said in the first place, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't even perceive it. He can't even believe or know there is a kingdom of God. All right, now he says, unless he's born of the Spirit, he can't enter into that kingdom. He can't enter into it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, folks, Jesus is talking here, of course, to a very righteous man, according to the law. He's talking to a ruler in Israel, a man who searched Jesus out at night to talk to him and to get some of his questions answered by the Lord Jesus. And Jesus made no effort to answer his questions. Verse 2, it says, The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, that was a flattering way to approach him and to give him credit as coming from God. And why wouldn't Jesus be just so pleased to get that kind of introduction and from this man of Israel who was a ruler, a big shot, and wouldn't you be pleased to get that an introduction like that? But Jesus wouldn't even talk to him on those terms. Why? Because he didn't have the necessary tool or the necessary condition to understand Jesus. Jesus was going to talk about spiritual things. And this man couldn't even understand natural things, as he tells him later. And how could he understand spiritual things? And so the problem you see with all mankind is they don't understand spiritual things. If a legal subject comes up and a crowd, and somebody says, well, we can't afford to speak on legal terms. They'll even say that over the air. I'm not a lawyer now. I can't tell you legally what you're supposed to do. I'm not a lawyer. But, here's what I think, but we're very, very cautious on legal things to speak out. We say, you better go see a lawyer. I want you to get it right. You better go see a lawyer. We got banking matters. We got a lot of money. We want to look after it. We want it to make a lot of money. We want it protected. And we don't want somebody to take it away from us. And so we don't just go to the closest fellow that comes to us and say, will you keep this at your house for me so I get ready for it? I got a few thousand here, and I don't want to put it. You're my friend. I believe I trust you. And they get a banker, get a financial advisor, get somebody who understands taxes and all of the other things, and tell me how to deal with my money. I want some authority. I want somebody who knows what to talk about. But you let the subject of religion come up, and everybody's got an answer. Everybody's got an answer. Now, I believe this. Well, I believe this. Well, my mama taught me this. Well, my daddy said it was this way. Poor, pitiful fools that we are to sense and feel that way. Why don't we go to the authority? In spiritual matters, it's much more important than lawyers or money or banking or anything like that. It's so much more important. Why don't we go to the authority? The Bible, the Word of God, that's it. That's the authority. It's not the Pope or the priest or me or anybody else. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Why don't we go to that? Well, because we're fools. That's why. And so we think that we got an idea. My daddy couldn't have been wrong. In my case, it was my grandpa. Bless his heart, he was a wonderful Christian. Loved the Lord. Used to rejoice and praise the Lord, but he was mixed up and messed up in doctrine. But he was a godly man, a good man. And my family, down through the years when I first got saved, I couldn't hear anything else, especially from my uncles and aunts and things, except, well, Grandpa, you know your grandpa said this. You know your grandpa believed this. You know your grandpa believed that. Bless his heart, he trusted Christ, and as far as I know, he's been in glory now since 1939. You know, he's been up there saved, praising the Lord like he used to do down here. Yeah, I'm not looking to my grandpa for information. I'm not looking to my grandpa to tell me how to be saved. I look to the Word of God. And you're a fool if you look to somebody for information that is so important that it'll damn your soul if you get it wrong. Now, this will not break you and you end a pauper. It'll damn your soul and you'll go to hell if you get it wrong. You better cast out all those ideas and things that somebody passed down to you and get into the Word of God. Don't believe what I say unless I can produce it from the Scripture. It's what the Bible says that counts. I've got no authority except to preach the Word. To preach the Word. And that's what my responsibility is. Now, what about this primary battlement? It is salvation. That's the best thing you parents can do for your children, is to be saved. I mean, be born again. Now, if you're here this morning and you've got children and you are not sure about your salvation, get this straight first. Don't trust something or somebody else. Get it straight. Ask yourself, the parent, here's some questions. I mentioned them last time. I want to ask them. I'm going to be as pointed as I know how, and I'm going to say to you, parent, be honest. Be honest. Do you know when you're being honest? Some of us have been so deceptive we never even know when we're telling the truth. I've told this story so many times, but when I got saved, I had to straighten out lots of things that I had told for the truth. I remember I told people that when I was a boy, I used to swim across the bay down in Baghdad. That part of it was true because the porpoise were still in the bay back in those days. It wasn't polluted and everything. They'd come up there behind our diving platform, and there was a woman who used to come out there. She was a kind of a nationally known swimmer. And she'd come out there, and she'd just take out right on out across that bay. Swim till out of sight, out, Charlie, you know. Then after a while, you'd see her coming back, coming in. And I used to tell people I did that. I thought that's one of the greatest things, that woman doing that, swimming out across that bay, until I got saved. And one day, you know, after I got saved, I said, I got to straighten that out. You know, I just felt like I had to tell somebody, what a liar I was, and how making up such a terrible thing. Don't trust your heart. What about you? You got some things hidden back there. You got some skeletons back there. You got some things in your heart that you're hiding. And are you sure that your heart's telling you the truth when you say, I know I'm saved? How do you know you're saved? Here's the thing I have always had a problem with. I talk to people and they say, yes, I'm saved. And then the first thing you know, you hear them cuss. Or spit the tobacco across the road out there. Well, I'm not saying tobacco sends you to hell, but you'll have to go to hell to spit. There ain't going to be no spitting in heaven, I can tell you that. Now, you know, but our hearts are so crooked. They're so wicked. So I ask you, parents, now to be honest about this thing. Are you saved? Are you saved? Now, I'm not trying to get you lost if you are saved. But if you aren't saved, you're already lost. Okay? Now, I've known of preachers who go around, their whole ministry was trying to get folks lost. I don't believe in that. But I want to ask you, are you sure you're saved? How do you know you're saved? You say, well, I prayed with a fellow one time, and after I got through praying, he said, okay, now you're saved. And you're going to take that man's word? You're going to take somebody's word who told you, okay, now we prayed and you're saved? Not me. I wouldn't take the word of somebody about this thing. you get to the judgment seat of Christ and you say, he told me I was saved. Well, do you know how much credit that's going to have, don't you? Or baptism. You get saved, and I know some churches, you know, they rush you to the pool afraid you'll lose it before you get wet. We don't do that around here. You got to be saved at least 6 months or more before we even talk to you about baptism. We got nothing against baptism, but we don't want to baptize sinners and then them hang on to that for the rest of their life and say, I'm baptized. That won't get you to heaven. Being saved will. And whether you get baptized or not, after you get saved, you go to heaven. The thief on the cross went to heaven. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He never did get close to the water. So don't worry about it if you don't get baptized. So I said, well, you got to be obedient to the Lord. Well, the Lord was baptized for you just like he died for you. You know, and he whatever was necessary in paying for it with the baptism, he took care of that. Now, we have the responsibility after we're saved as a testimony to show that our faith in Christ. And in a lot of countries, it really means something to get baptized because you're taking a stand that you may even cost you your life. But it's too popular down here. It's not that kind of a thing in America and here. Now, so somebody said, well, I'm baptized. Well, there's going to be many a baptized fell in hell. There's going to be many a baptized preacher. Many a baptized layman that's in hell. Somebody said, well, I joined the church. That sure put me in. Put you in what? Put you in the church. Well, the church that Jesus founded is an international church. It is a made up of all believers who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only church. Now, we have in the Bible the local church, which is a body where believers come to serve God, you see, and to get together, as we do here, to serve the Lord. But that doesn't mean that everybody comes to this church is a believer, you know. It's just like people saying, some of these Christian schools, they say, well, how do you pick your children? Who are you going to take in your school? Oh, said, we don't take any children except from saved people. Oh, I said, you know who's saved and who's not. Oh, no, we don't know who's saved and who's not. Well, then how can you say we only take the children of saved people? I can't see in their heart. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. And folks will lie to get the children in. Say, yeah, if that's what you require, I'm saved. You know, we're so unreal about life and real things. And we need to use our head and be sensible in these kind of things. So church membership won't get you into heaven. And then somebody else said, well, I just felt so good when I prayed. Just felt so good. Well, I do that, you know, when they put me to sleep and I wake up, you know, have an operation. I feel so good. Man, that's the best feeling in the world. Wake up from one of those operations and you just, woo-wee. I'm saved at that time, but I'm never saved any other time. Feelings don't have a thing to do with salvation. Now, once you trust Christ and he comes into your heart and fills you with joy and you have the praise of the Lord, sure, it feels wonderful to be saved. But to say that I know I'm saved because my feeling, that's ridiculous. Some days you feel good and some days you feel bad. So you'd be saved the days that you feel good, and you'd better hope you die the days that you feel good. But, you know, that's so ridiculous. Now, here's the question, parents. Was my life changed when I made my profession, when I trusted Christ? Was my life changed? I mean, was I a different person afterward? If you weren't, you haven't been saved. If you weren't a new creature, you haven't been saved. You're just a lost church member. Now, I'm telling you, folks, don't be honest. Don't go around in a fog and go to hell. Be honest. about this matter? Was your life changed? What happened when you trusted Christ? And the second thing is, have I continued to grow in my love for God, in my love for the Word, in my love and prayer? How about this? Do I give more now than I used to? Am I tithing now? You say, no, I'm not tithing now, and I wasn't tithing before. Well, then I'd kind of doubt where you got saved. If your pocketbook doesn't get floated, you hadn't been deep enough under the water. When you get saved, your pocketbook will float. You can count on that. And people won't have to beat you or flog you to get you to give and support the work of God. You want to support the work of God. We get these missionary letters, and I never get one of their letters but what I just about say. Oh, if we just give these people what they need to get the job done over there in Mindanao or down there in South America. They want to build a building. They got land they want to buy. They can't have the money up to buy it. Oh, if we just could get that money to them. Oh, if we just get that to them. You know, and God's people sitting on God's money. God's people, or say they're God's people, sitting on God's money. Now, friend, let's get real. Let's get real. If you're having that kind of a problem, then you're not saved. No, you're not saved. You know, the Bible's very clear about salvation. You know that? You say, well, I've been saying I was all my life. That won't cut it. I know people, I've known people here, be part of the church here, and they say, well, I'm saved, and they must have been saved before I knew them, because they sure hadn't had any experiences since I've known them. You know, must have been a way back yonder somewhere. You know, they got saved. Folks, I'm being frank with you about this thing. You better know you're saved. Hell's ahead. Now, you know why a lot of folks don't get saved? They don't believe hell's ahead. They don't believe there's a really true God that holds you accountable. They don't believe there's a heaven as wonderful as the Bible says it is to gain, and a hell as bad as the Bible says it is to shun. They don't really believe that. You know that? One thing I found out over the years is people follow their belief. What they really believe, they practice. If you really believe something, you'll practice it. But if you don't believe, you'll fluctuate back and forth and back and forth. If you believe you ought to give to the Lord the tithe or whatever you think you ought to give to the Lord, you'll be consistent. You may start out fluctuating some, but you'll get consistent. You'll be consistent. But if you are not, and you think, well, this month I just can't afford to give it, I just can't afford to do it this month because we got so many bills, that's the month you need to give a little extra. Okay? That's the month you need to give a little extra. If you have things that you're not able to handle, then give God a little extra. See? Give God a little extra. Trust, have faith, believe. Trust God. The Bible is real. God is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. The devil is real. And your lost condition without Christ is real. And you better cease the business of playing around with your soul. You better get right with God. You have to be truly honest. The question, parents, is this. Am I saved? That's the first battlement that your children need around the building, is your personal salvation as a parent. Now, on Wednesday night, Lord willing, we're going to talk about your children's salvation and how to know and be sure that you get your children saved. God promised you your children if you're a Christian. He promised the whole household to be saved. That's the promise of Scripture, and I can prove it over and over again. If you're saved, but if you're playing religion, God didn't promise you a thing. And he'll pay you off with nothing as well. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, oh, we thank you so much for the blood of Jesus, the precious blood was shed at Calvary so we wouldn't have to go to hell. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts here this morning. I don't know the hearts of individuals, but you do. You know every thought and every heart, and you know every crooked thought and thing, or every thing that is not accurate or correct in our what we say we are or believe. But, oh Lord, we ask that the Spirit of God would bring conviction, real old-fashioned conviction, and repentance. Still the same old-fashioned way. Hadn't changed just because the church has now become so modern. The Bible's still the Word of God. Jesus Christ is still the only Savior. And heaven is where we want to go and be with Thee. And we want to shun hell. But Lord, we know that without Christ, we're going to bust it wide open. Now, Lord, we pray you'd speak to hearts and deal with lives. And if there are those here today that need to be saved, that they'll let some of us know. We're not going to twist any arms. We're not going to try to push somebody. We believe the Holy Spirit will do that work. But we ask, Lord, that you would draw men to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.